For More Good Children, don't forget to
subscribe to our Patreon,
where we give a new episode every week.
And I honestly believe it's like the most inside scoop into what's going on in
It's lives. A deep and meaningful conversation every time. It really is quite interesting. Yeah, I'm different now.
With your buckle fat removal?
No, like I'm different. Like it's 2011. Like, you know, I'm like edgy. Cool. I like have Tumblr now and like, yeah, I'm drinking black water.
And you're wearing beanies.
You have no idea what this is? You've never seen this before?
I honestly don't remember it.
DSLR camera, Blackwater, Doc Martens, like, bruised kneecaps, fishnets.
What is the Blackwater?
I have no fucking idea. It's just black. It's infused with Fulvic, a polyphenol containing 77 plus trace minerals, electrolytes, antioxidants, and amino acids.
Wait, that's kind of... why am I not drinking black water?
I think this is bullshit.
Yeah, I think that like, a lot of this shit is bullshit. It's like when it says hydration on your water, I'm like, yeah, of course.
Right, yeah, that's of course. Cool. Zero dyes.
Usually $5.50 for the pH balanced water.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm like, okay, all water is pH balanced. Like, I'm not gonna fucking fall for that shit.
No.
But I love Essentia.
Yeah. Happy Easter.
You're giving Easter.
I think that my aesthetic, I started leaning into just Easter chic.
Queen, yeah.
Yeah, I was the Easter queen.
You were.
I was like, let me give you a pastel, let me give you a van, let me give you some pinks.
Yeah.
I loved it.
We're leaning in, you guys, a costume aesthetic-wise. We're going to begin to really pull out all the stops. I do feel like we're both a little bit early to what we're dressed like. This is, like, what I wanted to be dressed like in sophomore year, but I think this was more, like, senior year for me.
Yeah, this was definitely more, like, junior to senior year for me, like, too, as well.
Like, I was definitely wearing, like, a baggy jean and, like, an Urban Outfitters sweater at max at this age.
I was wearing just the same lacrosse sweatsuit.
You love a lacrosse sweatsuit.
I was good in sweats. I was happy in sweats.
What changed? I know you're still in sweats.
Yeah, I'm definitely walking around town in sweat. My father with sweats. And something to put into perspective of like, ooh, I should be wearing the sweats.
24/7 Falmouth did it up.
Yeah. And then people are like walking past me like, actually like in a full head to toe, beautifully curated outfit.
No, that's like classism and shit. Like, you can wear sweatpants if you want. Yeah. I'm not going to, but you can.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Thank you.
And I own it.
You own it.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Good Children! Hey guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast. We're hosts, Joe Hedges.
And Andrew Mascarella.
Reflect on our 22 years of friendship growing up in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and all of the nostalgia and social media trends that came along with it. This was the dawn of it all.
This was the dawn of the Aquarius.
It was the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Yeah, because we're about to enter Instagram.
And once Instagram hit the surface, so did my anxiety.
Yeah, for me, it was all posted. You weren't anxious until 2010?
No. Oh, no, I think I'm realizing lately that I was just a product of anxiety.
At all times.
At all times, but I think that social media created a different form.
See, you know me, I love it. I literally love it.
I know you love it. And it's been a catalyst for you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just been like, oh.
Scary, wary,
spooky, dooky.
Cheesy, weezy.
Ookie, ookie.
What was that?
That was a cookie, ookie.
Ooh.
Yeah, I haven't used that one in a while.
That's funky, wonky.
Yeah. So.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about 10th grade. We're talking about, similar to every other graded episode, the style trends, the pop culture trends, what was going on in 2011 to 2012. I think that like...
What was going on?
What was going on? I think that we were in a really weird time. We were preparing for the Olympic Games.
Really the dawn of Tumblr. Once I fucking got all of that, my first MacBook webcam, the rest is history.
Someday I'll be living in a big old city. Harry Potter accent challenge. My name is Joe. My username is
Big Black Pussy. Look this way. Say hey, lady, will you marry me?
I'm gonna vlog. FW, this is 9/11 memorial in front of the school, and it was really, really cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of troubling things to talk about today.
I have a lot of troubling things. I think the 10th grade also was like the time of. I know that body has always been the thing, but like 10th grade specifically with
not
like
body already,
dating,
not out of the gate.
Body.
Dating and body in 10th grade.
Like things got real. When you turn 16, like.
We're 16 now? No.
I'm turning 16.
You're turning 16.
We're 15 going into 16.
Oh my God, it's the age of 16.
You are
15
going on. That was 16 to 17. Mm. But that's fine.
That's totally fine. Don't beat yourself up over it.
No, and the thing is, what I've learned is I don't beat myself up.
So, yeah, I think that you're right. This is a very pivotal age.
Pivotal.
You're back for another year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? Is your mom going to threaten to take you out of your Catholic high school? Or are you going to stop in a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot about it?
Maybe.
And that's all ahead of us in 10th grade.
Great.
Do you have any memories from this time in your life? Did you do anything?
Was I doing anything? You asked me this question. I'm always doing
but
something.
What are you doing?
Oh, 10th grade.
Oh, it came back to him. Oh, it's dark. I would... 10th grade was actually...
I'm pretty sure 10th grade is when I started playing the bagpipes.
Oh, 10th grade's when... Is that when the Hunger Games came out?
Yeah, for sure.
Are we in 2011?
Oh, 2011.
Yeah, it was March 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get really dark and vulnerable this episode.
Okay, that's fine.
Almost the darkest I've ever gotten.
Okay. Oh, that's really scary.
Yeah.
I don't think it can get any darker.
It can.
Yeah.
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
Yeah, we'll just say that at the very least. So what's your favorite memory from 10th grade?
My favorite memory from 10th grade, which is probably like, I don't know if I have any good memories from 10th grade.
It's just a really fucking bad year for us.
It's a really tough year for us. I think
No.
Again, 10th grade also for me, like, we were different people. And, like, this is where I was like, oh, shit. It's no longer, we can't joke around anymore. Like, grades are important. Mm. Like, what I'm doing is important. And I'm building
a version
of myself.
PSAT.
PSATs.
What was that like for you?
Oh, I... flailed it. Like, literally, it was so embarrassing that we took
You had, like, practice test anxiety?
Yeah, I mean, like, we all sat in that little damn auditorium. They're like, PSAT day. And then we took it.
Growing up, you were shitting on the
right. Joe, I can't even... I won't obviously say what I got, but all I'm going
to
say...
You're not going to say it? You still, to this day, can't say it? On your PSAT, you're afraid to say it?
You want to know what I got out of 2400?
Yeah.
I got a 1040.
Okay. I'm sure there's listeners who have gotten similar grades.
I agree.
And honestly, that kind of means absolutely nothing to me.
Yeah, because grades are just a metric of like stupid.
Of just how you can test.
Yeah. But yeah, that definitely made me spiral a little bit in 10th grade for sure.
Yeah. So you were like, I'm going to college is like your vibe. Or
my vibe already in 10th grade was I'm going to college. Like I'm getting recruited. I'm getting all of these things.
My vibe is I am hurtling on a comet towards worldwide fame.
Yeah.
It's the only thing in my head.
Yeah, of course.
I am like, I know what's happening to me and I'm buckling myself in because I have a one track mind towards fame and stardom and celebrity and success and money.
I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for me.
Yep.
I was not thinking twice about the PSAT. And I remember taking it and saying, this is so fucking stupid. That
you probably got like a 100. You probably got like a 1800.
I couldn't possibly tell you what I got on that.
I know. I probably could.
You probably could. I'm sure that you actually literally could.
That was the thing. I was obsessed.
You were obsessed. You were like, what'd you have? You were always the king.
What did you get her?
And I was always like, honestly, like we shouldn't tell each other our grades.
I'm like, you're kind of right. You're kind of right.
And you're like, that means he did bad. This was a time when there was one canned beverage to rule them all, and I'm not talking about Four Loko. I'm talking about something that my mother said I couldn't drink, was frowned upon by many, felt weirdly edgy, felt very cool to drink. Was a little bit spooky ooky in branding and packaging. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Was it Sundrop?
like this, the lemon lime. Is that what you mean? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you meant? It's okay, but that's what you
meant. Yeah, that's what I meant.
No, I meant Monster energy drinks. Are you okay? You're having a meltdown on camera. Axe body spray, five gum, Monster
energy and drinks. Then again, right into Four Loko. I think yes. This was the time of energy.
And we were high energy.
It was like, you how can
for it?
That you were like, I'm starting to get tired.
Because we're nearing the end of the world.
And we gotta live like it's the end.
Similes, metaphors, so we pop pills.
Thank God I didn't listen to that lyric a little too
early. You would have been popping pills.
I was popping pills. Taking
four Advil.
Yeah.
I just feel like I remember drinking my first Monster at Rocking Horse Ranch, like on vacation. Yeah. And I remember thinking, I look so fucking cool drinking this energy drink. Like, everyone was thinking I'm so old.
It was like alcohol. It felt like
it was like a heavy dosage of caffeine for a young person to be drinking. Like, yeah. I remember there was a buzz.
Yeah.
And now whenever I have like a Red Bull, the taste I taste is just like Monster energy from being 13, 14. And I'm like, whoa.
And it was like black can.
This is also the time of BBM. Now we've hit it. We are in a stride with Blackberries. I feel like freshman year, they were beginning to be introduced. Mm-hmm. By sophomore year, every single 15-year-old was behaving like a businessman.
Yeah.
Why did we have Blackberries?
It was like so thick. It was like
The little ball.
That my thumb would just roll
that
on.
That sensory experience of rubbing that ball and forth with your thumb.
Oh my gosh. Mm. Playing the games.
And then you could like customize yours. Like, did you ever pop your ball out?
I wasn't popping balls.
I was popping my ball out and replacing it with a different color ball.
You were coloring your balls.
I had many colored balls. Many. And different colored ball holders. Ball secures.
That's
fully
nuts.
Modifying. I was modifying a car, but it was my BlackBerry.
Wow. No, I had the most simple version of a BlackBerry possible. I just wanted it to.
Why were they calling out? What compelled, like, this is the dumb shit.
Because I think it was mostly for the, it was just mostly for the messages.
I guess it was instant messaging for the first time.
Instant messaging, the pinging, the everything.
I lived to ping. Remember when Amanda, my older sister, broke up with her first boyfriend and you immediately accidentally pinged him on BBM within minutes of them breaking up?
It was mortifying. Mortifying. You said, Amanda, so what I was doing was like,
let's see if he updated his status.
Like, what does the status look like? And I immediately kicked ping. And I was like, how do you go home from this?
Yeah, how did you?
Like, my best friend's sister's now ex-boyfriend.
Just got pinged
by me. I'm like, now what? This sucks. But this was also the dawn of my cupcake business. But I really, again, like, I got everything from the chocolate duck. I was piping. I was getting little accents. I was coloring the frostings. I was making purple velvet. I was making red velvet. I was doing it all.
What stopped you from pursuing the cupcake industry?
I think, like, if I'm being completely honest.
Internalized homophobia.
And I do believe, like, it was something I was really good at. I was also grappling with the fact that, like, if I was to become a baker full time, I know it would be a really, like, time consuming commitment.
I feel like you could have really had a very successful career as a baker.
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, like, it's over.
No, when is enough enough? When are you going to pursue a baking career and a theater career in the next couple of weeks?
And a cooking career, and a singing career, and a acting career. Yeah, no. I think that, like, that definitely could have been my thing. And I was known in school, especially for the bake sales, because I was class president at this time. I was making the red velvet cupcakes.
Christ. You were like Melissa. Generation's Melissa.
I was.
You were baking those cupcakes.
But instead of being the smallest cupcakes you've ever seen, they were the thickest,
thick,
most
dense.
Dense cupcakes.
Oh, they were. Maybe those purple velvets. I'll never forget.
With the yellow
frosting. The yellow frosting,
the little flower.
Yeah.
Literally, stop.
Stop. That's sweet.
So sweet. Like, I was, like, I did have that sweetness to me.
You had a sweetness.
And you, for sure...
had a spice.
Had a spice.
2011, like, sophomore year, The Hunger Games is coming out. It's no longer a joke to me. My life is no longer for me. It is dedicated to Jennifer Lawrence and Suzanne Collins and Francis Lawrence, the director of that first movie. I have such limitless things to say about this entire time of my life. I had become stricken with a fever that was incurable.
Yeah.
And it was literally the countdown to March 21st, 2012. Mm-hmm. The fact that I know the day The Hunger Games came out, and I will never forget it. You want to know why?
Why?
It's so dark.
No,
I don't know if I honestly got this dark on the podcast.
Oh, geez. What do you mean?
Like, it was like, you know.
How dark?
It was dark.
Okay. Okay. It was like really dark?
It was dark.
It was like so dark. Like,
I think I'm saying it in too casual of a way.
Okay.
Going. So anyway, this was also. This was also the. Can you stop looking at me like
that?
We're resetting. As a result of the fact that The Hunger Games was coming out, this was the year of the Long Island Hunger Games. And we've heard your devotional roars for more of this story.
And listen, like, there's a lot more to the story.
So I want to first and foremost give some credit to the creator of the Long Island Hunger Games, Kyle Garrity, who was aforementioned in the previous episode is also the founder of the Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
A lot of foundational work was done here. Let's just pull up to the Sam Sosa Park.
Park. I want to say, like, we drove.
At least
we got in the back. We got in that car. Your poor mother had to drive us all
it's
the way to
so Bohemia. Sweet that she did
it
that.
It was sweet. But, like, she was sick.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, thinking about it from her context, being like, I'm dropping these two 15 to 16 year old boys in the woods.
With a bunch of strangers.
Strangers that they've never
met. To simulate playing a game where kids murder each other.
And to say, like, what if there was one crazy?
What if there was one crazy?
They're
as
dead.
There always is.
There's always a crazy in the woods?
The thing is, I was the crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's right. What she failed to realize.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that experience for her, but we did get up there. Did we talk about this? How someone was sucking dick in the parking lot? There was an affair happening.
Oh my God. And we're like, what's going on in
me,
there?
Me, you, my mom were parked waiting for everyone else to show up, and there was a woman sucking a man's dick to the right of us in the next door.
And we're like, all right.
And then I was like, oh my God, he's having an affair. We're all just watching.
And we're like, I feel like he like turned.
Yeah, he definitely saw us watching.
Yeah, and I think that energy
set the tone
for the rest of
the day. And it was a 5 hour day?
It was a 5 hour day. And I will say, I kind of can remember the feeling I had when I showed up. And it
of
was the,
doom and dread.
What the fuck am I doing?
You just say yes. This is a lesson.
I was like, that was my lesson. I was like, I say yes to everything. I feel like it was also like a little bit cold.
Yeah, it was like definitely winter.
It was definitely winter.
It was
and
like,
I was like, I don't know any of these people. I definitely had like a little bit of anxiety. I'm like, the rules needed to be explained. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of the woods.
I remember, it was also my first time meeting Tumblr friends in real life. Because there were some people who were going who I knew from Tumblr who I hadn't met in real life. And just to really double down here, my social life was on Tumblr. Like, I had many friends 10th grade, but they were 99% on the internet.
Yep.
Like, and so many of them. So I was finding opportunity to bring those friendships into real life because I desperately craved actual friends.
And I feel like in a lot of these situations, I was always there with you.
Yes.
With you meeting your Tumblr friends. And this is my friend Andrew.
And nothing's ever changed.
Yeah, no.
Literally,
hey.
I'm still to this day being like, and here's Andrew.
Hey. I'm always right behind you. So the game start.
We walk about three quarters of a mile into the woods first. The rules are being explained as we walk.
We're standing in the circle of the cornucopia.
And here's, we talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating. we all had to put our own backpacks filled with our own belongings, including our cell phones, into our bags. Maybe we kept our phones into our bags and then put them in the center of the cornucopia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an opportunity for someone to steal your bag and you would have nothing on you in the middle of the woods.
And you know, my bag probably was packed with snacks.
It was. We had a lot of granola bars and shit.
No, like, we were pretending like we were going to be in the woods for as long as that they were in the
woods. Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt like we were.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum,
do you think that we ate? I think that, like, we cleared through the box.
The snacks were gone immediately.
Immediately.
I just remember being, like, all I was worried about was getting my bag. The countdown happens. The game, there's a game maker who was not playing, who was orchestrating the entire thing. Very selfless to do that.
Very. I kind of, like...
You would do that next time?
I would be the... I would, next
I
would, time.
I think we host a Long Island Hunger Games.
Someone would kill us.
I know, that's my concern. the cornucopia, the countdown happens. We make a dash. It's like downwards, right?
Yeah.
It's like a hill.
Just a hill, you want that. And the rush that I had, the adrenaline that went through my body.
I don't think I've ever felt that good in my entire, ever again.
No.
That was it.
Because at that point, you're like, I'm an athlete.
If I was in the real Hunger Games, I'd be out of the cornucopia.
Yeah. I'd be alive right now.
I'd be alive. And then from there, I feel as if what happened was several hours of walking.
It was like, several hours of walking, and we're like, wait, there's like a fence. We like were by the fence for a really long time.
Were we?
Yeah, we were in like the back corner of this park, like by the fence.
Just like hiding out.
Don't be like,
we're not gonna leave.
Should we just jump the fence? Should we just do it?
Should we just leave?
Should we just leave?
I wanted to win so fucking badly. And did I cover my entire face in mud?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, I'm gonna kill him?
You? Yes, for
you
sure.
Did, for
I
sure.
think. Or did you?
I don't think I did.
I think I had to get down to the two of us. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But like,
I wasn't trying
like,
to kill you until the last possible second.
Because I was like, I can't lose Joe right now.
Yeah. What would we do?
I couldn't.
We needed each other.
I can't imagine. And then we started like.
We neared the cornucopia again and went back.
But would we get Texas?
Oh, because it would also be like Tracker Jackers are released in Quadrant 4. So if we were in that quadrant, we'd have to move.
Yeah.
Right? Like there was like that shit, like we couldn't camp out for too long.
Nope.
People start dying. We start getting texts that tributes have been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's going down.
Shit is
in the Bohemian woods.
Yeah.
We make our way closer to the center of the action.
Mm-hmm.
We team up with Kyle.
And Kyle at the beginning was so gracious. Mm-hmm. He was like a great partner. He was like, I got this. We're gonna be in this together. And then, why did you leave, Joe? Where did you go, Joe?
I don't know where I went. I just know, like...
You left me there?
I left you alone with Kyle.
With Kyle.
And the rest is history. I'll never forget that text. I'll never forget that moment.
Tribute, Andrew.
It's been eliminated.
It's been eliminated. And it was, I'll never forget the moment. He was like, oh... I think it was like a, should we find Joe?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, let's find Joe. I started walking down the hill. He came from behind and pulled my flags.
Snatched your flags.
Pulled my flags.
All of them at once?
All of them. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I'll never forget that.
We got a ride back in the car. Did we get food?
Yeah, Arby's.
We talked about it, but 10th grade was the year I drank for the first time.
Wait, what?
So I was... Not only doing the Long Island Hunger Games in the middle of the woods, I drank.
Wait, 10th grade was like the pivotal year for us.
It was a huge, huge year.
Wait.
Yeah, it's when I funneled the Four Loko.
It was the Four Loko that you funneled?
Yeah.
What happened after?
What happened? I didn't eat before I went because I didn't really know anything
right.
about drinking. So after I just got very drunk and then again at the party... He was like, my grandma's coming back. And we're like, everyone was like, oh shit. Then I walked back home, went into my house. My mom was like, get in the pool. I'm like, get the pool. Went right upstairs and the rest was history. Then I didn't drink again for a while. But again, I learned about Four Lokos that night. I was buzzing with energy. And you should eat if you're going to drink.
I think that's a really good lesson.
Of course.
a lesson I've had to learn many times in my adult life.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that you, again, like, good for you that you were a little bit behind the curve in those situations.
Was it good for me?
I guess. I don't know.
It was like, good because I had friends who could deal with it, yeah. You know, and not, like, teenagers around me.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've woken up on your Boston bathroom floor is 2 times too many. You know what I mean?
It was definitely 2 times too many. It was definitely, like, it put into perspective, like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What are we both doing here?
Yeah.
It was like, why can't you handle it and why can't I?
Like, that was a curve. Yeah. And then again, if you're coming to that Boston show, you'll hear that whole story or just listen to it on Patreon.
Yeah.
Okay. Religion. I hate to bring it up. I hate to bring up God, but I will never.
What was happening with God in 2021?
I mean, for me, I was in Catholic school, so God was daily. Dios es Salve Maria, y eres gracia. In sophomore year, theology class, no disrespect to this man who I feel has passed away since. My gay ass theology teacher who was straight, who looked like one of the scariest men in the entire, scary looking.
I can imagine.
Could have been in The Conjuring. He was a sweetie. He was very sweet.
He was gay.
Yeah, he was gay. And he was talking about homosexuality. You know me, I was always slipping my wired headphone up through my blazer sleeve.
Yeah.
And listening to music all the time in class, not paying attention.
I always thought that was so slick.
I know, and I was listening to, like, literally Gaga. It was Gaga, or I remember listening to Fun, because I'll always be a Jack Antonoff bitch, like, no matter what he does. And it was sophomore year of high school, 2011, I'm listening to Fun, and I was listening to something that's weirdly about, like, I think it's, like, literally about atheism. And I remember listening to it as I was sitting in class, listening to my teacher talk about homosexuality, and, like, looking at the Jesus on the wall and being like,
what was he saying?
Oh, they were always saying the same thing. They were, like, PC about it. They were like, you know, it's a sin and homosexual acts are sins. And, like, you should probably, like, Jesus will forgive you if you commit those acts. But, like, it's not a good look.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
belong. It's a lot of sin.
It's unnatural and you can't, like, yeah, like, all of that. Yeah. And I never really unpacked any of that. Like, I never really, like, thought about if it impacted me.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I do think Fun saved me in 10th grade. I remember listening to that song where he says, I will die for my own sins, thanks a lot. And I was like, fuck this, I'm done. And that, like, for, like, literally a switch flipped in my head. And I was like, I no longer care about this.
Yeah.
And then, like,
sorry.
It was actually beneficial. Like, I do think it was great to cut the cord so intensely. And then I went through the era of being like, I'm an atheist. And, like, loving it. Like,
God,
living for it. Yeah, I would say to this day, my relationship with God is non-existent.
Okay, yeah.
But with no shade and no tea and no disrespect.
No, how could there be?
Like, full shade to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
No shade to the concept of religion. If it slays for you.
If it slays for you, if that spirituality is bringing you to a place that you need to be
absolutely
to, by all means, continue.
And I've done shrooms. I've had spiritual experiences.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we've all been there.
We've all been there.
But, yeah, no, that was... Yeah, I lost my religion that year, and I almost lost my life.
Losing my... Okay. There's a lot going on here in sophomore year that, like, is being alluded to, and... If you are in a situation where you feel like you... I'm, like, so scared.
No, it's fine. Who was your favorite Olympian in 2012?
March 21st.
I didn't try to kill myself on March 21st.
That, you gave that vibe.
No.
You didn't give that vibe of 2012. You gave it was the anniversary.
It's, like, so dramatic. Like, it's just, like, how do I tell this story in, like, an offhanded way? But now I've built it up so much that it's, like, no, so impossible to say in a casual way.
No, like...
It's just so funny, too. It's, like, really funny. No, this is at the in the theater during the Hunger Games. Upon it beginning, I was suffering from depression in a crazy way. Undiagnosed, clinical, scary depression.
Yeah.
I absolutely was suey.
in a big way, in a practical way, I was definitely considering.
You were chopped suey'd.
I was like dipping my toe in the suey water. And I remember it literally in the theater for the Hunger Games. It was about to begin. And I was like, I'm not going to kill myself. I was like, I'm going to make it through this. Like, literally as the movie was starting. And to this day, when I watch that
really
movie...
really did save your life.
Yeah. If I watch the opening few seconds of that movie, I literally am flashback to being like, I won't kill myself. So thank you to the Hunger Games for being here.
To speak of dark, it was, but I'm happy
it was dark, but I made it funny.
You made it funny because you laughed through the whole thing. You did laugh through the whole thing, and sometimes when you do that, I guess it's funny, but it's also a serious thing.
Oh, obviously. For and sure. The thing that made me want to kill myself, the thing that really inspired me was Glee.
Stop. Cut it out. Like.
Do you remember anything about your sophomore experience that was like particularly difficult? Like, what were like
the thing is though about a sophomore year is like I do think that freshman year is always the most difficult year because you're still adjusting, but sophomore year you're like, I have it under my belt.
Right.
At least, I mean, we'll get into college, but that was the time where I was like, okay, I actually am meant to be here. I'm not gonna leave. Sophomore year in high school though was more of like I'm trying to figure out who I am in this space.
Right.
And what my thing is gonna be. Like, again, I was resume building, but I also was at this time so focused on being good at something, and I found it in lacrosse. I need to prove myself here, whatever. And this was the moment, and I've said it before, it was what I was brought in. They brought me up to the varsity. I started playing. I won the first three games for them for the entire season. And
they said,
then they brought me into the office at the end of the year, and they said, if you ever want to touch that field ever again, you need to lose 30 pounds. And that was the first time for me where an authority figure in my life had the audacity to talk about my body in front of my face and to clearly to other people about like what they thought the version of me should be.
It's
and
so
I wasn't good enough
right.
to, because the people that were either below me or above me were the ideal archetype of the body that they
right.
thought should be there. And I wasn't, even
right.
though I was better than them, but
right.
I could have never been acknowledged for that because I didn't fit the mold of what they wanted.
It's so crazy.
And I think that that actually has literally traumatized me and
oh,
like,
of course.
Has been taken into genuinely anything that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's tough and it comes right back.
It's just crazy that anyone, especially, I've never experienced like the athletic side of it, but
yeah.
like the way that people feel ownership to make any comments on anyone's body is like, I feel like even we were at this age
yeah.
like willing to joke about each other's bodies
mm-hmm.
and like call each other fat and
yeah.
like make jokes like that, and how harmful that even must have been for
yeah.
the two of us. Like, we were self-harming each other by doing that.
It was
like,
self-deprecation, because again, when you're in a situation like this and you feel like there are outside forces that are giving it to you daily, and you're like, oh, let's just shoot the shit and like let's be funny with each other,
right.
and let's just self-deprecate.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, like everyone's thinking it.
Yeah.
So let's beat them to
the punch.
And
it takes the first person to be like, why are you talking about yourself like that?
Yeah.
For you to be like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like
it's funny, right?
Making a joke. Like, yeah, like it's just so fucking crazy. Like,
it's crazy.
I think that I was thinking about this last night upon receiving information about someone that we know, and I was thinking how I was like, wow, like I didn't consider the fact that people like still were making like horrible comments about
mm-hmm.
people's bodies. And I was like, oh, because that's not happening to me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, why would I hear a comment like that? Like,
mm-hmm.
and the privilege that we have to not hear that shit. And like, just because I'm not hearing it obviously does not mean it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it literally freaks me out.
It's
like, it
really
freaks
freaky.
Me out that that kind of conversation is happening, especially to a teenager. Like,
yeah.
it's so insanely harmful.
Again, like, you were chop suey. Like, not that I was, but
we're
like,
all a little.
We're all like, again, if when you're in high school, you're
always on the edge. You're walking on the edge.
You're literally like, I just want to be validated, and I want to be told that I'm good, and like everybody, like again, some people were like, whatever, but like I was somebody who was like, you knew that I wanted positive affirmation. Like,
and you got
nothing about me was being like, beat me down.
Right. Yeah.
Or say it in a good way, but hearing it from like old men.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
It's so disgusting.
So disgusting.
There's no place for it.
No place for it. And again, this is a good learning lesson. Not to say that we have old men listening, but like, don't comment on people's bodies. Literally, period, point blank. Do not comment on somebody's body. Even if they're losing weight, even if they look good, even if they do whatever, like, do not comment on somebody's body because you do not know where they're at emotionally or mentally, and like, it will never get you anywhere.
It will never get you anywhere. And like, yeah, I think that what you're saying, even when you're losing weight, like Beanie Feldstein wrote a really good like essay about this when she was in maybe Hello Dolly a few years ago. That was about like the comments she got when she lost weight during that. But it really like spoke to me at that specific time in my life. But like, yeah, there's literally no reason ever in any situation to mention someone else's body, like actually at all, positively or negatively. There's no positive body comment. Like, I don't care what you're saying. You could say someone's beautiful, you could say someone's hot, their body's sexy, but like, especially in a period of change, to be like, oh, you look really good. Like, that is so, like, it is not a compliment.
Because the most intimate relationship you really have is like with your body, and like, for somebody else to like make a comment about your body that's not theirs is like,
whoa,
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's,
it's like invasive.
You're kind of like, why would you say that about me?
And it's like, especially in the gay community, especially for women, like, I think also for straight men, but they just refuse to actually process their emotions or talk about it. Like, the way that we're validated for changing and conforming to fit beauty standards, like, the value that we put on bodies is so fucking ridiculous. But
I know. And it literally is coming up. It's like,
it's also, like, making me mad.
It's also the Sam Smith of everything.
It like, is it, the it Sam really Smith. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
It's like, come on. Like, again, like, first of all, we can talk about it in the context of what we've experienced when somebody's comments on our bodies, but I genuinely cannot imagine on such a global scale where people are actually dragging somebody for what they look like and what is actually normal that like isn't seen as hot to them.
And if you have one negative thing to say about any person's body ever, and I know you, or I am in a place where I am near you, I want you to know I am not your friend. Yeah. I don't want to be around you. Yeah. And I genuinely will never respect you.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing. I'm so mad currently. Yeah. Like, I'm actually mad talking.
I know.
There's nothing that, like, actually, it's not just body. It's just, like, anyone who thinks that they're better than someone else or that they can say something about someone else's physical appearance, emotional, anything, it's so infuriating and embarrassing and just makes me instantly lose respect. Like, forever. Toast. Done.
Toast.
Yeah, like,
10th grade! Yeah.
We really
set us on the spiral with that one.
Yeah.
I think rightfully so. I think that was, like, on both of our minds.
It definitely was on both of our minds. Like, I'm glad that we talked about it.
Yeah. Back to like, what was
my heart's like actually racing.
Yeah, I got that from you at the
like
end.
We're not just sitting in the room together.
Boop. Good children to the guidance office.
Okay, fun one.
Fine.
Makes sense through this one, and I think that maybe we can finally answer it.
How do I make friends in New York? My boyfriend and I, gay, moved to Brooklyn a few months ago. He already had friends here, but I'm starting out at ground zero. I've never been in a situation where I've had to go out and make friends before. How do I make queer friends without turning to the apps?
I think that this is something that we're, recently learning.
We're both working through it.
We never talked about Anne Juliet, but I'm going to say, like,
oh my God,
in that moment at Anne Juliet, like, I realized that it's so normal to go up to somebody and start a conversation.
I think on top of that, everybody does want you to do that.
Everyone like, does.
We are all sitting in room. Yeah, and Juliet is the best example. Shout out to Grace for giving us
Grace, thank you. And shout out to Bedwalker.
Yeah, shout out to everyone involved in the production of Anne Juliet because it was an amazing time and it's a weird time to plug it, but it was a great time and you should go see it. But I was thinking that whole time, I was like, nobody here doesn't want some, like everyone in that room is waiting for someone else to make that first move and to make everyone else feel comfortable by speaking to them. Like that's all we are doing as human beings is like hoping someone sees us and speaks to us.
Yeah.
And being in a situation like that, it's like, yeah, you could either slink away in the corner and not talk to someone, or you can risk, it's good. It's fear of rejection. Yeah. Like that's all it is.
Fear of rejection and like by rejection, like you're being embarrassed.
Yeah.
And like when you can, when you can recognize that every, like no one is gonna necessarily, and if they are, if you go up to somebody and you start having a conversation and they're like,
that's their vibe.
I would really be like, oh, okay.
Okay, you that's your vibe. You. Right.
I'll see
you later. If anyone meets you with negativity in a situation where you're approaching that, that is always a good thing. Yeah. Again, because it's like, you should not want to be friends with that person. No. But in terms of
queer spaces, though, are difficult. I understand where you're coming from because it is like, how do we bridge this gap of not feeling like you want or hitting on somebody.
Yeah.
And that is what has been so easy making girlfriends. Because I'm like, oh, they know that I'm not hitting on them.
Right. I think you're also putting pressure on yourself to make friends immediately. Yeah. So you moved to New York a few months ago. I don't think it happens overnight. No. I think that you might have a year of loneliness. Like you have a boyfriend, big slay. Congratulations. Yep. He has friends. Like, you can also, those friends are your friends, hopefully. But I think that like it takes a second in New York to find your footing and find your place and find your people. And like everyone kind of expects this like Sex and the City girlsian like friend group to appear out of nowhere. But like honestly, rewatching Sex and the City, I'm like, they're all in their 30s and like that's a sign. I'm like, oh, like, yeah, these friends that come to you, they're like your unit of friends, like take time to develop. Like you have no idea who you might casually meet in your 20s that will slowly become someone who is an integral part of your life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really helpful. The apps are helpful for that.
Yeah.
But also like, I think we all forget that we're young. I think we all want things to happen so fast. But like good things genuinely do take time. And I think that like you, as long as you're putting yourself out there and being receptive to the opportunity of friendship and also creating opportunity for that friendship, like give it time, especially that it's been a few months.
Yeah.
Like it's winter also, which sucks.
Okay. This dip looks absolutely horrific.
Oh shit.
But let me tell you, it doesn't taste like shit. It's amazing. My boss at EF, shout out to Dev if she listens, like good for you for listening, told me about this dip. It's the one dip that I've always, I like every time she hosted a party, I'm eating that dip. Now I'm bringing that dip places. And I'm literally like, this is the star vehicle. This is my confidence when I walk in the door. I'm like, I have a dip that's actually gonna shut everyone up in this space. And I'll see you at the table. I'll see you at that damn snack table, all right? So what this dip consists of, you gotta go to Trader Joe's. This is not sponsored by Trader Joe's, but if at any point Trader Joe's does want to reach out, or if there's a worker at Trader Joe's that knows somebody at the corporate office, let us know. The corn salsa, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to get the corn salsa. You're going to get feta cheese, and you're going to get a avocado. You are going to cut that avocado up. You're going to mash it up a little bit. You are going to take that corn salsa. You're going to put some of the corn salsa in. We don't need to get into the measurements because it's all about a feeling here. And then you're going to, if you like the more cheese, you put some more feta cheese in there, but you put the feta cheese in there. Little sprinkle of salt, little pepper, but then you got to sprinkle the everything but the elote seasoning in there. You have to. You mix that up. And you gotta use the Mexican street style corn dippers. That is a non-negotiable in this space. And then you have the best dip that you can bring to any party or any event and have your friends over. Joe, should we go in?
Andrew, I just want to take a second and say what you just did was incredible. That was your best thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
That level of flow that you just had about this.
Thank you so much.
That was a real pro at work.
Okay. I appreciate that. Let's do it. Because it's sweet, it's salty, it's a little spicy, it's creamy. Come on.
It has everything.
It has everything.
It really does have everything. That is a perfect dip.
Perfect.
A perfect, perfect dip.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
Who knew that this episode would take so many twists and turns?
It really took, like, we were driving a car.
We took it up the road.
Oh, no. And we went into the swamp.
Yeah.
We went into the swamp. We're sinking.
No, yeah. There's no survivors.
We're sinking, but we bashed the windows open.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're right. We did do that. And I'm pretty proud of us.
I agree. Me too.
I think that I had no idea what we were going to talk about for this year. I was like, I really, was kind of like, but
yeah.
Little did we know there were some nuggets of wisdom hidden beneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that.
Just like that. LA, March 20th. San Diego, March 21st. San Francisco, April 2nd. Seattle, April 3rd. Boston Late Show. April 27th.
Link in bio for all these damn shows.
Are you guys also wondering, like,
how are we gonna do it?
The shows are literally
back to back.
Hmm.
And we're traveling up the coast.
We finish our San Francisco show. We're like, okay, go to sleep.
Seattle.
We literally get on the plane and we go right to Seattle.
Is this how Marilyn Monroe fell?
You know where to find us.
Across all platforms at Good Children Pod.
I'm on Instagram at Andrew Muscarella.
I'm on Instagram at Joe Hedges.
And don't forget to do your homework.
Spread that good word. Like, comment, subscribe, share, rate us 5 stars, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe and hit that bell button. Get those notifications. Come on, I'm like sitting there waiting for those comments every Wednesday. I want to chat and shit.
And literally don't forget to follow us on Patreon.
But yeah, we'll see you next week when we head into 2012.
The end of the world.
The end of the world, the beginning of honestly everything, yeah. Beginning of a pop cultural boom that we've yet to recover from. We'll see you next week then.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to be queen, love yourself.
Love yourself.
Make friends.
Hug your body.
Hug your body. Hug someone else. Get STD tested.
Mm-hmm.
Count to 10, take it in. This is life if boy you know who you're gonna be. I didn't know it at 15.